We take a look at the week in Washington. President Trump's former campaign manager showed up for a tense hearing with the House Judiciary Committee yesterday. The White House is putting new sanctions on Iran after the bombing of Saudi oil facilities. And some top House Democrats are divided over whether to launch impeachment proceedings against President Trump. Our question for you this week, do you think Democrats in the House should consider impeachment? If you're a Democratic voter, do you like this idea or do you think the election next year needs more of the focus? Is there something you'd like Congress to focus on instead of impeachment? If you support the president, what do you make of this? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Heather Cagle is a congressional reporter for Politico. She joins us from the U.S. Capitol building. Heather, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, let's talk about the testimony of President Trump's former campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski. What were Democrats hoping to get out of this? Why did they call him to testify?
Well, I think for Democrats, since the Mueller report came out in late April, the whole goal was to get as many eyewitnesses who testified to Mueller and gave accounts that were in the report to get those folks up on the Hill, have them recount their stories, essentially, you know, so the public could see these folks say it in their own words and put it on TV and things like that. Democrats have really struggled with that because the White House has basically claimed immunity for all of the aides mentioned in the report and flat out refused to allow them to testify. And there's some legal argument over whether they're allowed to do that. And that's what Democrats are working through the courts to do. But Lewandowski was the first eyewitness to testify before the House from the Mueller report. It came out in April. Here we are in September, and this is their first real hearing. So I think they were looking to bring the report to life through him. And of course, yesterday he tried to do everything that he could to dismiss their questions and not answer them. And so that's what we saw, that tense back and forth yesterday for several hours.
It was an awkward event. Here's a bit of an exchange between Corey Lewandowski and Committee Chair Gerald Nadler.
How many times did he direct you to deliver a message to a member of his cabinet?
The White House has directed I not disclose the substance of any discussions with the president.
Did he ever discuss with you any concerns that he may have committed a criminal offense?
The White House has directed not disclose the substance of any discussions with the president or his advisors to protect executive branch confidentiality.
Now, a weird thing there is Corey Lewandowski was never part of the executive branch. He was part of the Trump campaign. So that is one of the big legal questions you were just referencing there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Lewandowski never worked in the White House. And so Democrats argue you can't even claim executive privilege over someone who never worked under you officially and prevent them from answering questions. But that's exactly what we saw yesterday. I mean, we just heard Lewandowski's response to several of Democrats' questions. It was, as you played, the White House instructed me not to answer this. Not only that, but there were two White House lawyers sitting behind him who he frequently consulted with, and that enraged Democrats, given, again, that Lewandowski never actually worked for the Trump White House. He only worked for the campaign.
Now, at some point, Lewandowski did acknowledge, it sounds like, that President Trump had directed him to deliver a message to then-Attorney General Jeff Sessions, asking Sessions to deliver a message that he's going to limit the scope of the Mueller report. That was something that confirmed the Mueller report and what had been attributed to Lewandowski, right?
Yeah, and I think, so Lewandowski never actually delivered the message to Sessions, right? He said yesterday, I quote-unquote went on vacation. But he did confirm that the president did ask him to deliver this message to limit the scope of the Mueller report. And I think for Democrats who walked away from this hearing yesterday feeling mostly very deflated, they felt like this was the one victory that they got out of it. And remember, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee has repeatedly said that they are in an impeachment investigation. He said earlier this week he thinks that Trump should be impeached. That was Congressman Nadler's strongest declaration on this issue so far. And so he and others on the committee billed this as the first quote-unquote official impeachment hearing. Now, you talk to some in Democratic leadership, Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office, for instance, and they will disagree with that, and that obviously is a whole other issue. But I think for Democrats on the committee, it was important, even if Lewandowski's performance was mostly disappointing to them, to have him make this point of confirming this episode in the Mueller report and just having him appear before the committee and continue in their mind to prove the point that the White House is doing all it can to obstruct their investigation into potential wrongdoings.
Talking to Heather Cagle, congressional reporter for Politico. We're talking about some of the week's top stories in national news. Well, let's follow up on that impeachment division within the Democratic House delegation. Heather, what are we seeing between Speaker Nancy Pelosi and people like Gerald Nadler and people who are going even further in their calls for impeachment?
You know, we wrote a story about this morning, actually, the different paths that Speaker Pelosi and Chairman Nadler are on publicly about what the House is actually doing and where this goes. And we keep seeing these paths get wider and wider and their messages get more different. And that's confusing to the rank and file members when they go back home and voters say, well, are you guys in an impeachment investigation? What's going on? And you have, you know, the Speaker of the House saying one thing, and you have the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, which would oversee, you know, articles of impeachment, saying a different thing. And so the point that we tried to make this morning is that at some point, Pelosi and Nadler have mostly been talking past each other. They have not directly criticized the other one, and they have not had a confrontation about their differing viewpoints. But at some point within the next few months, they are going to have a very serious discussion, because Nadler has said he has an informal year-end deadline for when he wants to decide whether his committee should draft articles of impeachment, vote on those in the committee to recommend them to the full House. Now, Pelosi runs a very top-down approach in the House. She always has. She's long time led the Democratic caucus, almost two decades at this point. And so she would sign off on that even if they did draft it in committee. And she still does not support the idea of impeachment. She keeps, you know, repeatedly pointing to public polling, which has about 30-ish% of voters support the idea. So it's a huge percent that don't want to see the president impeached. And she repeatedly says, until that number ticks up dramatically, I don't think we should do this. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have Nadler saying, I think we have enough to impeach the president. I think he should be impeached. So at some point in the next couple of months, they're going to have to figure out how to reconcile those very different viewpoints to decide what the House does next and how they act, if they act at all.
Let's bring on a caller on the issue of impeachment at 800-642-1234. Scott joins us in Windsor. Scott, hi.
Hi. Hey, thanks for having me on. I couldn't, you know, I can't emphasize enough the importance of impeaching this guy and his administration. This is an abuse of our Constitution, our system of checks and balances, and it's becoming more and more blatant every day, the lawlessness of this administration. And the fact that the Democrats can't seem to get on the same page and recognize that circumstance is absolute, as a Democratic Party, a member of the Democratic Party, is absolutely maddening.
Scott, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. What are some of the issues that Democrats are talking about as things that might be in articles of impeachment, if and when those exist? Heather?
Well, so they point to the Mueller report, where Mueller laid out 10 episodes where his investigators allege that Trump tried to obstruct justice by somehow blocking the investigation or trying to cut it off, all those things. So obstruction of justice would be one of those, right? And then there's a lot of investigations on the Hill, on the House side, of course, into potential corruption in the administration, corruption with the Trump organization, conflicts of interest. Is President Trump profiting from his businesses, from foreign countries, you know, doing business with him, or staying in his hotels, things like that, while he's president? And then, you know, the third article that gets mentioned often and was mentioned yesterday particularly is obstructing Congress. That was an article of impeachment in the Nixon impeachment process. And they said that Lewandowski's refusal, despite not working for the White House, to answer their questions and claim, you know, executive privilege just shows further that Trump's White House is determined to obstruct Congress. And so those are basically the three that they talk about: obstruction of justice, obstruction of Congress, and overall corruption related to President Trump.
We continue our conversation with Heather Cagle, congressional reporter for Politico, looking at some of the week's top stories from the nation's capital. We invited your calls at 800-642-1234 on this idea of impeachment. Should House Democrats pursue impeachment of President Trump? We'll go now to Jackie with us in Milwaukee. Jackie, hi.
I read a very good article a couple of days ago on impeachment, which I definitely would like to see, that if they focus on the Mueller report, it'll inflame the base. There's so much that's been contested already. If they spread themselves too thin, you know, five different subjects, that's not good either. But if they focus on the emollients, especially with all these recent things with the military and Barr and everybody, you know, using his golf clubs and things like that, that there's a much better chance of being successful.
Jackie, thanks a lot for the call. So Jackie getting strategic there, saying the emoluments, the appearance of corruption would be the things to pursue, not the fallout from the Mueller report. Heather, what do you think?
Yeah, I think actually she's pretty spot on in what Democrats on the Judiciary Committee are thinking. We talked to them last week, and they've really started talking up the emoluments part of this. And they've even started trying to use words because, you know, if you're just the average person and you hear the word emoluments, like, do you know automatically what that means? I didn't know what that meant until we started reporting on it, right? And so they've started to use, you know, more common sense words to try to explain what they're getting at. Self-dealing is one of them. But really, they're hammering home the corruption angle because they think that that's much easier for folks to digest and understand. And they think that voters would be outraged if they are able to prove that Trump is using his public office, his government service, to profit and benefit himself. And so they're looking at various issues. She mentioned, you know, the military being forced to stay over at his resorts, Vice President Pence staying at one of his hotels in Ireland. But it goes much beyond that. There are allegations that, you know, he was a part of this plan to pay hush money payments to adult film stars who alleged to have affairs with Trump, and that's possible campaign finance violations right before the election and all kinds of things. So they are exploring all of these, but they are really starting to hone in on the corruption angle because they do worry that the Mueller report did not move public sentiment the way that it hoped, and they see a window that's closing for the opportunity to impeach, and they think that corruption and making that clear to the public could help sway sentiment in a way that the Mueller report hasn't so far.
Thanks a lot for that call. Go to Ryan now in Appleton. Ryan, hello.
Hello.
What do you think?
My questions are, it's all a bunch of, and you know, there's no specifics at all. Every time you try to squeeze a Democratic person for their knowledge on Trump, what they should be impeaching him for, they always say, oh, he's just corrupt, because they keep hearing those talking points all the time. So do you have any specifics that they should impeach Trump for? Because I'm sure somebody would want to hear it.
Ryan, thanks a lot for the call. And it sounds like, Heather, that's what you're saying about the Democrats' focus, demonstrable things like the president making money from the Air Force and foreign powers and that being apparently forbidden as the Constitution is written.
Yeah, and I think the problem with Democrats that they've really struggled with is the Mueller report is 450 pages, and they don't really know how to boil that down and make it make sense for the public in a way that is easily digestible. And like I said earlier, there are 10 episodes that Mueller laid out where his team thinks that Trump tried to obstruct justice, and Democrats who want to impeach the president hope to turn that into an article of impeachment against him. But again, they have struggled to have these witnesses who were eyewitnesses to these instances come forward and testify and tell the story in their own words and be on the nightly news, their audio be on the radio, things like that. And because of that, the message really isn't getting through to the public. I think most Democrats know the extent of Trump's corruption in their mind and what they want to pursue, but there are so many different lanes that they feel like they could take and they should take, and they really do have a hard time boiling that down.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more caller before we move on to a couple other issues in national news. Joan joins us now from Madison. Joan, hi.
Hi. I'm an attorney. I am very concerned about the constitutional balance or imbalance that is going on. It took 2 years to educate the public about the Nixon impeachment, and I believe that's what Jerry Nadler is doing with the inquiry. And I believe that that's how we get the polling up and we get the country educated. And I do believe that's what Nancy Pelosi is waiting for. But she's letting the inquiry go because they're going to pull out. Everything comes under the rubric of abuse of power, whether it is obstruction of justice, obstruction of Congress, the emoluments clause, all of it comes under abuse of power. And it's going to take a while. It's going to take all these hearings to educate the public and move the polling data.
Joan, thanks a lot for that call. And Heather, I think Democrats are looking back at the Nixon impeachment and pointing out that early on in that, public opinion didn't favor that at that time either. They're hopeful, I guess, Democrats would be that public opinion will shift.
Yeah, and that's the argument that folks like Jerry Nadler and others who, you know, have supported opening this impeachment investigation for a long time, that's the argument that they make. When you look back at Nixon, public support wasn't on their side until they got through the investigative process, and then, you know, it was overwhelming. I think the issue here, though, is the politics of up on the Hill are a lot different than they were back then. Things are a lot more fast-moving, and Democratic leadership is very, very, very reluctant to wade into an impeachment process, particularly on the floor, when we get past the end of this year into the presidential election season, because I think there is a concern for them that even if they do have the votes to impeach the president, the Senate will not convict, and so he will not be removed from office. And then their concern is that President Trump will take that fact and use it to bolster his reelection, and they think that it could actually help benefit him in November 2020. And that, you know, there are other Democrats on the other side of the argument who disagree with that and think this is a moral issue and they should not stand for these alleged abuses of power, et cetera, et cetera. But that's where Democratic leadership is coming from, and they are afraid of helping Trump win the White House again when, you know, they actually want to do the opposite, obviously.
Joan, thanks for that call. Talking to Heather Cagle, congressional reporter for Politico, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Want to move on to one or two more things, Heather. Over the weekend, a couple of oil installations in Saudi Arabia, big ones, bombed by drone attacks. The White House and Saudi Arabia saying Iran ultimately behind it. What are you hearing from members of Congress about the U.S. response here?
Well, Congress is all over the place. The Progressive Caucus in the House put out a statement just a few minutes ago urging Trump to de-escalate tensions with Iran because, you know, earlier this morning he announced he was adding more sanctions. And then you have allies of the president like Lindsey Graham and Tom Cotton, who are hawks in the Senate, and they have argued that the president isn't going far enough and that there needs to be some kind of military intervention. They want to see the president go a lot stronger on this. And Lindsey Graham in particular has been very outspoken and critical of the president, and we talked to him earlier because the president kind of fired back and said, essentially, you don't know what I know, and these sanctions are going a long way. And we talked to Senator Graham earlier, and, you know, he wasn't backing down. He thinks that by not doing some kind of military engagement with Iran, and, you know, there's a broad spectrum of what that could be, that the Iranians will take this as a sign of weakness on part of the United States and continue to disrupt relations in the Middle East. And so Congress is all over the map on this issue right now, today.
There'll be a lot to watch for there. And then finally, this week, Manhattan's district attorney's office has subpoenaed an accounting firm for 8 years of President Trump's tax returns. Do we know what investigation this is tied to?
Yeah, it's a state investigation to look at whether Trump or others violated state laws by paying these adult film stars who alleged to have affairs with President Trump before he was president. He denies the affairs, obviously. And we saw his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, plead guilty to participating in this on the federal level. And he's serving, I think, 3 years in prison or so, right? But so this is a state investigation related to the same issue. But it's one of many attempts by, like, New York and congressional Democrats down here to somehow obtain President Trump's tax returns and see if there are, you know, like potential abuses of power that they can prove through those financial documents. Because, again, he has refused to release them.
And as you mentioned earlier, this could tie back into what Congress is doing. They're looking at some of these allegations that the New York state legal system is looking at. This could ultimately feed back and help Democrats in Congress if this information comes out.
Yeah, you're right. But I think the important point to make here is this is still in the grand jury process. It's a grand jury investigation. So they're subpoenaing these 8 years of returns. But that information would stay confidential unless there was a criminal trial and it was submitted as evidence, right? So there's no easy way to, and I think Democrats on the Hill who are in court separately battling Trump to get his tax returns have realized there is no easy way to obtain the president's sensitive financial documents, and he is going to do everything he can in every arena in New York, D.C., California to fight efforts to get those documents.
Heather, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Heather Cagle is a congressional reporter for Politico. She joins us today for our weekly look at the latest news in national politics. You can still join in with your thoughts on the idea of impeachment. Should House Democrats pursue it or not? Tweet us at Central Time WPR and let us know what you think.